My other favorite fact.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm stuck in there.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
At least I'm back walking and stuff, but I'm still sore as hell. I think it's this weather.
Hello.
Were you doing something?
No, I just got up. It's called being old.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's a sign.
That's all my injuries from before, too, but. I had it in my car for Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And I turned it on when I got in the building. I brought it in just to make sure, and there's stuff on there for tonight, but it's just probably going to be the same thing they'll have.
Call the meeting to order, call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Here.
Trustee Dodge?
Here.
Trustee Guerra?
Here.
Trustee Rusick?
Here.
Trustee Calandrello?
Here.
Trustee Carroll?
Here.
Mayor Pico?
Here.
Can I apply for now?
Sure.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess it reminds me of that one viral video of the two-man recreation department board that did a meeting for themselves. There wasn't another person in the audience.
There you go. So, it's a close-knit community.
So tonight would be the conclusion of our budget hearings. And we've had several of them over the past several months.
High public interest.
And I think it was challenging, but yet successful. With that being said, at the last meeting, we asked if there were any amendments the board might have to the proposed budget. There were two. There was one that was asked to be made by, in regards to the concerts, some additional information on the concerts and bring that as a formal amendment. And then there was one made by the village manager's office because we recently found out that glad to report that Loyola Palos came back with us just very recently committing to another year of sponsoring the Taste of Orland Park. So there's an amendment to that. And with that, the first amendment, which would be the special events fees to the Taste of Orland Park. And the amendment that you have in front of you is basically increasing the special events by $75,000. But if the board recalls that back when we did our capital budget, there were a number of technology initiatives that were still on the shelf that would make us efficient, specifically in regards to the police. And so what we thought would be, I'd like to offset the subsidy for special events, proposing that we offset and reduce the subsidy of special events by $75,000 and fund these technologies for the police department.
Are there any questions or comments on that?
Mr. Mayor.
Trustee Rusick.
So these technology requests are all police related?
I believe they are, yes.
Yeah, and they actually all go together, so to do one of the three without the other wouldn't complete the system. So it's really going to update their whole ticketing system, the ability to use it in the cars, the ability to interact with the New World system or the Tyler system that they currently have in place.
So it's basically to allow them to ticket from their cars?
Well, it's an entirely new ticketing system. So they have a couple different chime in, sir. They have a couple different ticketing systems right now. One of them is very antiquated and very old. It was actually an in-house developed software. They use many different ticket books. They hand write a lot of the tickets. There's different formats and all that kind of stuff. So this would kind of bring it all together. It would be one system that would manage any type of ticket that we currently issue, bring it all together into the system, interact with the car system that they have, allow for all the tickets to be generated electronically instead of handwritten, and then also update the system back at the police station, as opposed to now they take the handwritten tickets and they deliver them to one of the clerical staff, and the clerical staff has to actually manually enter those tickets into the system. So this is just to automate the entire ticketing system.
And my understanding is some of those tickets are actually entered three times.
They are. Yeah. They are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this Chief McCarthy requested this technology, correct?
He did.
Okay.
Yes. Through
this
BIS.
Was on our capital budget, and it was our number one priority
budget meeting. Right.
So this one's easy.
Yeah.
I would think.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Trustee Carroll.
Just one question. We're talking about $75 being reduced from the subsidy to special events. If I looked at these numbers correctly, it's about $118,000 in technology. So what are we doing with
it? Yeah, so what we did is we had a little bit of fund balance kind of left over. Remember when we talked about we wanted to get to that 20% in 2023? So when we did the 2019 budget, we actually were a little bit higher than we needed to be for 2019. So we were able to use the $75,000 plus that additional amount to fund these projects.
Okay. And just as a reminder, and again, if it's the desire of the board, whatever the board decides, is that once we kind of got to those benchmarks with the fund balance in 2019 and then would carry us through to 2023, any excess revenues we would utilize to first take the capital items for technology. Those were the first things that were going to come off the shelf, the discretionary items that were unfunded at the time. So,
and that was driven by the operational efficiencies that it's going to generate.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor of of this amendment?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Looks like the ayes have it unanimously, so go ahead and put that one in the budget.
Thank you. The second amendment that we had was, again, based on a prior board conversation about doing the one ticketed concert event at Centennial West. The revised amount was $178,130. One of the things that you'll notice that we took out of what we've shown previously are some of these, the 15%, what we call it, administrative costs, the cost that we'd be paying regardless. It would be, you know, Director Flores, myself, anybody that was, you know, would be paid anyway. So we removed that from the amount there. As we talked, because it's a first time event, we decided to put about 60%, presumed that we were going to get at least 60% of this concert paid. And then the remaining amount, we are recommending that we would take from the fund balance. So it would withdraw the fund balance down a little bit, and I'll have Amory kind of explain, you know, how much it would draw down, and then moving forward. Because as the years go on, if we continue to do this, obviously we're adding more revenue to the concert, because people will, as word gets out, it will become more and more successful, so on and so forth, and hopefully be sustainable on its own. Hopefully it will be sustainable the first year, but we just want to be conservative with that.
Yeah, so what we did is we were going to include the entire $178,130 in the budget as expenditures, and then on the revenue side, what we did is we took, just being conservative like we always are on the revenue side, we took 60% of the ticket sales and all of the vendor food and beverage sales, and then we add the whole sponsorship amount. So we would budget whatever this listed there, the 83,165 as the revenue, and the offset, like Joe said, would be fund balance. So when we go and look at our long-term financial plan based upon that, it obviously isn't going to make that much of a difference. In the out years, we escalated the cost of the concert series by, what was it, 1%? And then we escalated the revenue by 10% every year, thinking that our revenue generated every year is going to go up and up. So what that does is it doesn't make a significant difference, but so when we, without the concert factored in for the next few years, in 2023 we're at like 17.7%, and this brings us down to about 16.7. So it doesn't make a significant difference, but it does bring us a little bit further away from that 20% that we were looking to get to in 2023. We know there's going to be many things that change between then and now, including probably extra ERI participants. That's going to help us save even more on the expenditure side. But based on the assumptions we have today, that's the effect of having the concert in our budget.
So we would just need to know whether or not we would move forward with this and include it in the budget or not. And
are there any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Gira.
I guess my first one is, why 60%? How did you pick that number?
You know what, it wasn't scientific. It was just, you know, we thought we weren't going to budget 100%. We're always conservative on the revenue side. We're not really sure that we're going to be able to sell the number of tickets that we can sell. We're not sure that it's priced right because we don't know the act yet. And Nancy Flores had filled me in on a lot of this today, so I'm kind of saying some of the things that she said. So since we don't know a lot of that, we just thought we would be conservative on the revenue side and include less in our budget. It's still funded because we have the fund balance available to fund it, and we still issue a budget that gets us well over the 20%, but we just didn't want to factor in the total amount of revenue for the first year.
So all these items are pretty much possibilities.
Yeah, and just one more thing, just on the revenue side, it's kind of the same thing we did with the video gaming revenue. We knew that all of it wasn't going to occur on January 1st. We knew it was going to probably trickle in slowly. So we didn't budget based upon a full year, even though it's already in place. So it's kind of the same concept on the revenue side.
Just ironic to me, we questioned seriously the expenditures for the new ticketing software and all for the police department, but we're considering something that we know nothing about for a budget year when we've eliminated 18 positions.
We do feel confident on the expenditure piece of this. There was great analysis put into that, but we did take out that 15% because that's a cost that's gonna, you know, we're gonna pay that regardless. So we removed that from the expenses from this concert because
used 60% of the 3,500, which is in here, and the 3,500 was already conservative from what we spoke about before.
Correct. Okay. So it's very conservative.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Ruzick.
What is the status on achieving the sponsorship? Is there any? I know Mr. Mayor last time.
Well, the sponsors aren't going to sign up on anything until we have an approved event. We can have conversations, there's interest, but I don't know how much, and they don't know who the headliner is, and there's no event. So hard to get someone to sponsor something that doesn't exist.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Carroll.
I'll limit my comments to things that I haven't said in previous budget meetings on this issue, but to me it's easy to dip into the fund balance to buy a technology piece, which, as the mayor mentioned, will help efficiencies and make our department run more smoothly. And I probably more than anyone else on this dais know what it was like to have to carry 5 separate ticket books every day in my briefcase. And then the inefficiencies that went with having those multi-part forms touched by, again, as the mayor said, probably 5 or 6 or 7 people before they finally made it to Bridgeview or the records section. And we had talked previously about the information we had gotten from one of our nearby municipalities, New Lenox. And I know what their mayor had told our mayor, but I was hearing different things from their board. I know our special events coordinators here were hearing different things from their colleagues in New Lenox. My understanding was our village administrative staff was hearing different things from their colleagues in New Lenox. But now we have it in writing, because when I began my conversations with some of their board members, it was the 2017 numbers they were working off of, because they didn't have all the 2018 numbers in yet, but now they do. They spent $500,000 on their concert series, and they made $337,500 for a net loss of $162,500 in 2018. That's the number we got in writing from New Lenox. We know now that what they had originally told us, that they were profitable or at least breaking even, is nowhere near the truth. And I say that because they've been using their concert series for, I believe, 10 years. And they still haven't gotten to the point where they're anywhere near making breaking even or making money. And so again, I will repeat myself here because it's, I think, the most important part of this. As Trustee Guerra said, you know, we've looked at dipping into our fund balance policy to make our police department more efficient. And as Mr. Lamargo said, we're talking about any excess revenues that come in that we hadn't budgeted for. We'll go back to that wish list that wasn't already funded for technology, and I'm on board with that because I can talk to the residents of Orland Park and say, this is going to save us money. We're confident this is going to save us money in the long run because we'll be more efficient. But this village, that New Lenox, that has been doing this for 10 years and losing money, despite the fact they already have the infrastructure, they have the stage, the sound system, the security already cooked in because they've already established it, we're starting from scratch. So I think our losses in our first year could be, and probably would be, even larger than that. So I can't in good conscience vote for a concert. And Trustee Ruzick brought up another good point. We don't have sponsors yet. So that $5,000 figure could be completely off. We don't know. I can't go to our employees in the next negotiation and tell them they're going to have to, like we've always said, get deeper into the deep end of the pool or you know, be more responsible for a larger portion of their health care, or take a smaller raise, as has been mentioned 100 times, flattening the curve, when we're dipping into our fund balance policy to pay for a concert that I'm fairly confident is going to lose money. So I can't vote in favor of it.
I will respond to the 2017 numbers. I do know they've spent $350,000 to bring Chicago in as a one-time thing, and they didn't change any of their ticket prices associated with that. So I'm using that. And again, I spoke to the mayor of New Lenox after having to apologize for him being called a liar here on this board floor. And he said since the inception they are running positive. So
that's not true.
So,
I'm not calling him a liar. Again, I said someone's lying. I never called him a liar. I said someone's lying, and I narrowed it down to three or four groups of people it might be. But we have the numbers from their special events coordinator now. They lost 162.5 in 2018.
I thought it was 2017.
No, this is 2018 numbers. We just got them this week. Or late last week.
Mr. Chairman?
Trustee Fenton.
This is to staff. How did you come up for the revenue? These numbers seem awfully high. I mean, you're anticipating selling 3,500 tickets, and where did you get the numbers as far as how many tickets you think you might sell and how many beverages and food and stuff that you're just picking numbers out of the air?
So none of us here, maybe Joe worked with Nancy more closely than we did. We didn't actually come up with this. Recreation did, based upon history of what they sell at the Taste and what they sell at the farmers market and just kind of surveying the area and other events and things
like
that.
Right, but those events, you're not allowed to bring your own liquor and food where this is.
Yeah.
We actually, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Director Flores and her team actually reduced this number a little bit because of the fact that we would be allowing liquor and food, people to bring in their own alcohol and food to these concerts. So we did take into account of that.
Yeah, so these numbers were significantly higher in the first version, as well as the ticket sales, I believe, were at 5,000 in the first version. So this was scaled back based upon not knowing who the act would be, being a little bit more conservative on the ticket sales, and then, like Joe said, they factored in the fact that people that attended would be able to bring alcohol into the event.
Mayor Pico.
Trustee Dodge.
So I'm in favor of this for a couple of reasons. One, doesn't seem like it was all that long ago. I had a conversation with Mayor McLaughlin about trying to morph what we do locally into more of a entertainment, not just a pure retail perspective. And so when we went after this property, the idea was always to do these types of concerts. One of the things that came up is when we had some conversations with the folks who manage Ravinia, and we actually have more available green space for this particular piece of property than Ravinia does for lawn seating. What I recall distinctly was we started to take a look at it, and I think someone in administration at that time put together an estimate for what it would cost to recreate Ravinia, including the pavilion, and it was a mind-blowing number of $14 million, so we went nowhere with it. When, in fact, it's always been on the glide path for this particular piece of property to try and do these things, to try and bring concerts to Orland Park, not only to perhaps be break even, I don't see this as a, air quotes, profit-making enterprise, but to bring more folks to Orland to take advantage of our shopping and our restaurants. So as we've talked long about broadening our economic pull and supporting retail, this has been on the glide path. This, what's in front of us now, that's point number one. Point number two, what's in front of us now is a business case. I think that ultimately it won't be the business case. I think we've got to, quite frankly, and this is not a, term that's often used in the public sector, we got to take the risk on this one, right? This is not going to start moving to complete the original purpose for a pretty big land purchase for just this reason unless we go down this pathway. I have no illusions that we're going to be able to sell exactly 3,500 tickets at $3,500. We don't know yet. And it was always the hope that we would find a viable economic model to go do this. And I think as if we take this chance, it's not necessarily a huge impact to our fund balance. It's important for overall economic vitality. And I think Dan McLaughlin's words were, Orland Park often gets knocked for being a cultural wasteland. South suburbs do broadly. No elitism there from the North Shore. But so let's, like I said, I'm in favor of this. We've got a hell of a lot of work to do to get this right. And it's entirely possible we're not going to make any money, or it's not going to break even on the first one. But we've talked about this for a long time. Now's the time to take a chance. And yeah, we're going through an interesting budget cycle. And I think that as we work on cost structure issues, we also need to think about amenities, assets, and livability things that we do for the residents of Orlando Park. So I'd like to see this get going. And you know, I have a little bit of a time on my hands these days, so more than happy to pitch in with staff to try and figure out how to get this right. And one thing that stuck in my mind, and I'll remind the board of it, I don't know if he's still in place, but the folks who do the scheduling at Ravinia said it is in their interest to potentially coordinate or collaborate with us to do scheduling where they could potentially be an outsourced entity for us in terms of scheduling. So in this first year, not a perfect business case. We've got some risk. We've got to go figure it out. I think we should try it. I think there's been discussions about how do you get sponsorship to offset a risk. Well, let's go at it. Let's give it a run. If it blows up on us, we'll never do it again. If it works fabulously, we'll keep doing it. So I'm in.
Are there any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Trustee Ruzick?
I love the idea, and I'd love to try it. I wish I knew that we had a sponsor for it. And I understand your point, Mr. Mayor, that it's hard to get a sponsor without an act.
Yeah, and there's no sponsors. $5,000 sponsors in here. I think we do have that sponsor. That's someone to do the green room.
Yes, that's correct. So we have an in-kind sponsorship.
So we haven't looked. We don't have any bigger sponsors than that.
It just, to me, we're not going to start to realize the full impact of the ERI until 2020, correct? I think we're going to be in a much better position in 2020. We're going to have some things come online, you know, yeah, such as Von Maur, that we're going to start to feel the impact of. So I personally would feel better if I knew there was a sponsor, and if we don't know that there's a sponsor, I'd propose we hold off until 2020 to try it.
Are there any other comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Trustee Calandrillo.
I'm not going to repeat what everyone else said. I just don't think it's the right time. I think we need to wait for the ERI. I know, I agree, this is a great venue, and it's just based on getting the ERI, losing 18 bodies, cutting programs like the PACE program, and I know that it's not apples to orange, and New Lenox is losing money. Maybe it's not as much as people are arguing exactly how much. They have a different format also, and they're talking how these venues are changing as in smaller acts or bigger acts, and it's increasing the cost, and they also don't allow outside beverage, food and beverage, which would be increased value. And I agree with Trustee Dodge and the board here where everyone wants this to happen. It's just, I can't support it at this time without knowing that we have a major financial backing, and just one of our, at least I think our personal responsibility is to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollar, and at this time, I don't think it is. Thank you.
Are there any other comments?
If we go down this, Mayor Peikoff, if we go down this pathway, then let's start, you know, let's throw the switch. Every time we start talking about something that represents expenditure of taxpayer dollars for taxpayer benefits, let's start doing hard total cost of ownership and a total net benefits assessment. Let's not apply that standard to this when you look at all of the other things this board has done that had very uncertain outcomes that we thought were in the best interest of Orland Park. Yes, we're in a different financial place, but I also don't think that, you know, while we're trying to compress your costs, we've made a lot of progress. And, you know, we've made some pretty big investments. So if we're going to go down this pathway, trust me, no one on this board is more game than I am for, fine, come back, staff, with a hard net benefit assessment, and let's apply that to everything. We seem to be finding a standard on something that we've been trying to do for a decade now. So let's call a vote.
Trustee Gira.
The only thing I would add to what's been said is to reiterate, it's not that I oppose the idea. I think that's a great location for it, as you said, Jim. It was always intended to be a concert venue. I support that. Just this year, I would suggest it would be far better to revisit the whole issue in the next budget cycle.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Carroll.
Just to respond to what Trustee Dodge said, and I don't necessarily disagree with him, however, I'd be in an entirely different posture had we touched the revenue piece more this time and didn't have to riff 18 people. It's, to me, I can't take that in one breath and then in the following breath risk hundreds of thousands of dollars on a maybe. I'm not afraid of risk, but I just don't like the taste in my mouth of this year taking this risk after we just got rid of those employees, and that's my main reason for saying no.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Dodge.
I hardly think that early retirement benefits for staff under IMRF pension rules feels like we've done a riff, as in what we see in the other 95% of the American economy. So I treat those as morally different. And we had this conversation when I updated this with staff, which is every time we, as far as I could tell, and you guys help me because I think the three of you were in this meeting, when we've done these budget reductions or trim backs, we're ultimately impacting customer service, correct?
There'll be some sort of impact.
And my question, I think, which is perhaps rhetorical, was when's the last time we made a substantive investment with taxpayer dollars to go directly back into taxpayer benefits? We've put dollars from Orland Park tax into things like the TIF district. We've done it to fix broken malls. We've done it to big projects. When's the last time we put a lot of money into net benefits for our customers? I don't remember. I think it was, like I said, when we chatted over our budget, it was a semi-rhetorical question. We trim expenditures. We're cutting delivery of services to our residents. So I see our residents, by definition, taking a reduction in value from the Village of Orland Park.
Agreed.
So does that impact
Agreed.
Our staff? Sure it does. Welcome to the new world order where we have all got some financial constraints. So again, you know, we should just, this one's a tough one. We have asked a lot in terms of cost reductions in staff. By definition, that means we're reducing our value proposition to our residents. Here we are. So when we talk about trying to remap an economy that's increasingly under stress, where retail is changing and we're trying to find other ways to get shoppers to this town, this feels like a good risk. We'll see. Let's call a vote.
Are there any other comments? So I'm not going to rehash the things that I've said before, other than to say that, we are planning on doing individual concerts for a reason, because New Lenox said this, that it will be more successful that way. That's something they would, and they're actually changing how they're doing it. Now is the time to do it because, well, Orland Park is, the village has some constraints that we've dealt with and a cost structure that we haven't dealt with for decades that we need to deal with. That the economy is great. If there's ever a time people are going to spend money on tickets and things like that, it's now. The economy is doing extremely well. So it's not time to do it when things get tough for all of our residents. I guess my final comment is you can't have it both ways. You can't say we love this, we love this, we love this, but no, we're not going to do it. So at least be consistent and either vote for it or vote against it, that's fine. And with that, I'll call the vote. Call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
No.
Trustee Dodge?
Yes.
Trustee Guerra?
No.
Trustee Rusick?
My vote's a no, but I would encourage staff, if there's discussion with a sponsor, I would like to have this come back for a budget adjustment.
I can tell you I will not spend any time talking to sponsors for a concert that's not approved, because it's a waste of breath and a waste of energy. They should talk to sponsors for other events.
Well,
but let's continue with the roll. Call the roll.
Trustee Calandrello?
No.
Trustee Carroll?
No.
Mayor Pico?
Yes.
The vote
motion fails 5-2.
We had no other amendments on the board or that were second. Here.
Does anybody else have?
Yeah.
So, does anybody else have any other questions or comments?
Motion
second.
Anybody? Okay. There's been a motion to adjourn and second, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're going to prepare the budget then, and I believe it's going to come for formal approval on December
3rd.
On December 3rd. Thank you.